I have a couple lessons. One, you know, I'd rather be learning what people are listening for. My favorite tagline is be more interested than interesting. So when Mark guides you as an intelligent follower and tells you, hey, my biggest superpower is curiosity, it's because he's more interested than interesting. The other one is, and it's applicable to AI as well, 0 to 1 is as hard as 1 to 100. And what I love about AI, it really assists us from 0 to 1. It's not going to get you from 1 to 100. It's going to be you that gets you from 1 to 100. But I joke around because I do meetups. Every city I go to, I do a meetup just like this, but just with the public. And I do it for this very reason, to learn what people are listening for. So thank you very much. And we'll start here, then there.
So you talked a lot about where you want to be, like that.
Or better.
Towards there. But then you talk about how you consider yourself successful by the metrics that you say, you know, wealthy, happy, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you balance, like, I guess the first question would be, where do you want to be? Like, I think anybody here would consider you successful already. Some people might say that's the destination in of itself. How do you think about sort of pushing your where you want to be out if by your own definition you're already successful?
Yeah, sure. So my success is by the ability to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. Potential is unlimited. So therefore, when I talk about where I want to be, notice I always say, or better. Outcomes are the same as behavior. You do not have a capability of understanding or knowing what the outcome means immediately. It will change its meaning as time, linear time, moves forward. So that's why faith, to me, is intertwined with time. Because if I have faith that I don't know what I don't know, I don't understand outcomes, even the most tragic outcomes in my life, when immediately deals I lost, bankruptcies, people rejecting me. I always say life is, the people who enjoy life the most understand it's a sea of no's swimming to an island of yes you don't know exists. And if you actually get lucky enough, like Mark, to get to an island of yes, they make you jump back off into the sea of no's and swim to another island of yes you don't exist. That's what life is about. And so understanding what I call the ferocious Buddha, the people that can be ferocious every single day in the activities and enjoying the activities in alignment where they want to be or better, personally, experientially, giving and receiving, but have the ability to detach their emotions from an outcome, to detach their arrogance from outcomes, and be able to be at peace with an outcome that wasn't planned or in your wildest dream could not even fathom that it could somehow benefit you, like losing everything and making your mom move out of her house. I will tell you, 15 years later, it saved my life. It's one of the best things that happened to me. Was it easy? No. Nobody ever said life is easy, but it is one of the best things that happened to me. So detach your emotions from the outcomes you think you want or better and put them towards enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of what you think you want or better. Yes.
What's the best lessons you gave to your children?
I love, what's the best, that's a great question. What's the best lesson that I give to my children? I have 4 children that are now 24, 22, and 19. Those are girls and little baby Oops. By the way, I used to call him the best mistake of my life. And he's 13 now and he sees my videos. He's like, Dad, just tell people I'm the best miracle of your life. So the best miracle of my life. So there's 2 things that I do. One, I tell them what my dad never told me. Every day, I tell them, I love them, I'm proud of them, and I always have their back. I love my kids, I'm proud of them, and I always have their back. My expectations of them, I let them know every day, no matter what activity it is, activity for school or fun or friendship, there's 3 things that I expect. Do your best at whatever you're doing, learn lessons, and have fun. It's right aligned with that. So when my child comes home from scoring the goals or messing up a grade, that's the only thing I ask. Hey, did you do your best? Could you have done better? Then what'd you learn? But did you have fun? but I don't want them spiraling. So if I think those two things with kids really keep a great relationship and expectations of them trying, but yet not putting so much pressure on them that you judge them in any other way. Great question. Yes, sir.
You talked before about fears, anxiety, past and future, and you said something that was pretty interesting about how people is wired when they receive that fear and how they actually need to understand how that impacts to themselves. You have to recommend someone how to find out that direct impact on themselves, that reaction. How would you recommend them to do that?
Yeah. So when we're raising our awareness, I have two things that I believe. One's on the level of physics. Everything vibrates. So the earth vibrates the slowest, then plants, animals, human, then sound, then light, and then thought. And you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. You can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. The thought that vibrates the fastest is the truth or your potential. And so when, for me, I'm always looking for clues on at what vibrational level I'm aware of this, patterns to make my choices. So the clues are my emotions, my energy, my vibration doesn't feel good. So I then, that's for me, what I call intuition. So something, when I'm speaking, I tell people all the time, don't write down everything I say. Please don't write down nothing I say. Just write down that which resonates with you. Because if it's resonating with you, that means it's at your awareness and eventually it'll mean something, maybe not immediately. So at a vibrational level, I'm looking for clues of what resonates with me, patterns of what's interfering with that which resonates with me, so I make better choices that incorporates three things. The intuition of what resonates with me, intelligence of determining clues and patterns, and then inspiration of being in spirit, of identifying this interferes with my potential or this is contributing to me getting to my potential. And so I think understanding for me at a quantitative level, the idea of resonating intuition as a vibrational awareness allows me to then use my intelligence to determine clues and patterns to make better choices, which the choices I make are always aligned with what, who, how, and now. I'm prioritizing. I'm always making choices that are aligned with my prioritization for the day, which then incorporates linear time because I've narrowed my focus to 24 hours a day. So my harmony is out of other people's harmony, but it's just daily. And I think it's more productive, accessible, and gracious because I'm always taking into account the external circumstances of the day. I'm not trying to pretend like I know the future or give the wrong meaning to the past. And a lot of people get lost in those void shortages and obstacles of the past and of the future. I think worst of the future, but it doesn't exist.
How many years did it take you to bring the focus to the present?
How many years did it take you? So 55, I'm 55 in 10 months. It's a continuous. I started the journey of being aware of the present 17 years ago when I came home completely annihilated, wasted. I represented a guy named Little John, a rapper, and I lied to my wife. I went to the Grammy Awards. I was partying way too much. And I came home and she's my dream girl from the fourth grade. She's my everything. And I came home and she told me she was going to leave me, wasn't happy. I better take stock in who I was, what I wanted to become. And my initial reaction was F you. I think my actual thing after I said F you to her was, this was the mindset I was in 17 years ago. Look around you. Who do you think did all this? How dare you talk to me that way? How dare you talk to me that way? You want to leave? There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. And then I went to bed and I woke up so mad. And I was just telling Mark, that I woke up and I hated my mom, I hated my wife, I hated my best friend, I hated my dad, and I loved everybody else. And the reason I hated them is the only four people that were telling me the truth about me. And I looked over at a jacket my father had given me for my 30th birthday when I told him I hated him. He gave me a jacket with no pockets. And I said, why are you punishing me? You haven't given me a birthday present in 20 years. I hate you. He said, well, you're just like me. You know, money doesn't buy love or happiness. Hang it in your closet to remind you, be buried in the jacket. You can't take anything with you. Somehow, I was so full of hate, I looked at that jacket and I realized, I still get choked up, I realized I don't hate my mom, I don't hate my dad, definitely don't hate my best friend or my wife, I hated myself. I was in a glamorized stuck. Everybody wanted to be me, and except for me, and it sucked. So I started that journey. I think it's ironic, but 2 years after that time is when I went bankrupt. So I was more prepared. That's what scared my wife when I lost everything. I wasn't scared because I've been doing the work for 2 years and that didn't scare me. 2 years earlier, that's when I addressed my fear and my self-loathing, my worthiness issues and all that, which I still am working on, right? These are called, that last word is so important, practice. Practice good behavior creates good progress. It aggregates, compounds exponentially, and accelerates. I will always be in the practice. All religions are practices. We practice these things to get better. Next question. Yes.
Thank you. So you talked a lot about how you compound work every day to get to the goal. How do you set yourself goals on a daily basis? Like being ambitious enough, but not getting frustrated in the process.
Great question. Yeah, this is like the great reconciliation of, you know, how do you set goals but still be zen in the outcomes? I use time. I truly believe linear time, man-made constructive time, 24 hours a day from the time a particle of light leaves the sun, hits the earth, is the dependent variable of all matter, subjective and objective matter, all activity. So for me, I set prioritization by time, a minimum of an hour a day on my health today, a minimum of 30 minutes with my wife today, a minimum of 2 minutes with each of my daughters. I asked for five, they gave me two, but it's a minimum. But it allows me to have my prioritization in the trajectory, the long-term, short-term, you know, all types. Like one of the goals or objective, we have a beautiful beach house in San Diego. We want to also have a penthouse in San Diego so that we don't have to take care. We can rent this and that. We went to San Diego to the beach house and there's a bunch of homeless people. I now have changed my trajectory because we may not want to have the penthouse because there's a whole, or the interest rates rise up, or it's just to that day, and then I'm dealing with the external circumstances. But every day I have a trajectory, and some of them are non-negotiable, like my fitness, my faith, my family, my finance, and my time examination or attention. Perfect. Next question. Yes. Have I always been faithful? Yes. I have not always been faithful. I told my mom at one time, my family's very religious, and I told my mom that I don't believe in God, that I did this all myself. I get choked up because my mom, because I'm very faithful now. My mom said to me, you do believe in God, you just believe in the wrong God. And I thought, as I got older, I'm very multicultural and religious. I believe in this source. So I believe in God, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith. I believe in all of them because they're all bigger than me, omniscient and all powerful and all knowing, and they love me more than my mom. So I read everything from the Course in Miracles to the Kabbalah, Old Testament, New Testament. I read them all, and I believe in anything that has that omniscient, all powerful. I don't care what you call it. But I think faith's essential, but I don't put mine on anyone. Yep.
Thinking of the day after you were broke.
Yeah.
How did you come up? What was the thing that inspired you to say, okay, I'm not going to be buried here, I'm going to move forward? What was your inspiration?
I was not inspired. I was depressed. I remember lying in bed crying. And this is where I came up with what I call the best motivational philosophy that I've ever had. It started with me on my back crying. And I couldn't get up. So I turned the TV on. And I don't know, weird coincidences happen. My favorite sports movie was on, Rocky. Anybody see Rocky? It was Rocky 1, and he was getting beat up, punches after punches, and he got knocked down. And Mickey's like, stay down, stay down. But he looked up for 1 minute, and then he got up. And I said to myself, man, if I can look up, I can get up. And then I came up with this philosophy. It's called the first 5 minutes suck. So we've all been there, especially if you work out. If you work out early like I do at 4:30 a.m., a lot of mornings, it sucks. But I just tell myself, 5 minutes, do it for 5 minutes. If you want to quit after 5 minutes, you can go back to bed. You can turn around, walk back to your room. But you have to do it for 5 minutes. I will tell you, I've never quit after 5 minutes. And after I completed whatever the task was I didn't or wasn't motivated to do, I've never said to myself, oh, I wish I didn't do that. So the more, and still I have to use it sometimes, especially like traveling the way that I travel, I still just tell myself, hey, take the elevator down, 5 minutes to the hotel gym, after 5 minutes on the elliptical trainer, you can go back to bed. Never have I stopped and never have I regretted doing it. So it's just one of the hacks. So look up to get up, give yourself 5 minutes and give yourself an out. You'll never quit and you'll never regret what you do. Yes, sir. And Mark.
Thank you. I don't know if it is related to what you are talking about. Do you have any recommendation for us as a leader? Because we are listening to you because you have a big background, you're a millionaire, whatever you, and what you are saying is really important because your background. But maybe for us to inspire others, it's not the same.
It's the same, but yeah, exactly. It is the same. So all leaders are intelligent followers. Intelligent followers today are a little different than they were when I was younger. So number one, to be a great leader, you need to be an intelligent follower. To be an intelligent follower, I'm going to give you guys, I'll send them to Mark, the exercises like in detail, because all of these are built-in exercises, practices. Here's my philosophy. It's called the open-minded, open-ended question leadership guide. Open-minded meaning that, and I told someone just before, it takes 1,000 times the energy to re-engineer a closed mind than an open mind. So remember, time is the dependent variable. So if someone has a closed mind, like Mark, because he's in the middle of raising money, then just use a 3-no rule with Mark. Walk away, come back again and ask him again. If he still has a closed mind, come back and a third time ask him at a different time. If he still has a closed mind, just tell him, hey, this isn't the right time. Let me know when it is. So only deal with open minds. That's great leaders know that. Two, when you find the open mind, now I use what's called the open question leadership guide that says, and it's all about learning. It's about being an intelligent follower. Let's say I'm going to talk about a spreadsheet. Hey, what do you know about this spreadsheet? Oh, and then they'll answer. Oh, and then you could ask more questions. But where you really want to get to is two things. What do you like about the spreadsheet? And what don't you like about the spreadsheet? Why? This is where I get with everyone, because the only way you can provide value is two ways. Give someone more of what they like or take away what they don't like. That's the only way. Everybody makes this complex. And those that can articulate the quantitative value of giving more to somebody of what they like or taking away what they don't like to exceed what they're asking for will be extremely successful as a leader or as a salesperson, by the way, as well. So I'll send you guys the open-minded, open question leadership guide that says, okay, here's how you determine an open mind. Use time. One thing I will tell you about closed-minded people, like leaders that are extremely hyperactive, will have very limited time to have an open mind because they're involved in hyper-prioritized things. The nice thing is if you can find someone with a closed mind the majority of the time and you catch them with an open mind because you utilize this 3-no rule, they have very few options. So they usually, you get faster and better results from a closed mind who has an open mind some of the time than someone like me who's always open-minded and I have so many options and opportunities. It's like, oh no, you know, which one do I choose? So use the open mind and the open-ended question template, which I'll provide. And we can give more details in the private sessions. Thank you so much.